step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Listener discretion is advised. Hello and welcome to Scary Time, the podcast that helps you find new, emerging, and undiscovered scary and paranormal podcasts. I'm Greg, the host and curator of Scary Time. Today's episode is from Haunting Live. What does it take to be a medium at Lilydale? We'll ask a resident of the Assembly on this episode of Haunting Live. If you like today's episode, make sure to check out the episode description for links to subscribe. All right, let's get this show started.
Begin.
I'm creepy. I don't like it in here.
And welcome to Haunting Live. We are here with a new episode of Haunting Live podcast. Thank you so much for being here and tuning in to this episode. After a short hiatus, we have returned, but there have been some changes here at Haunting Live that we want you to be aware of. If you're a follower of ours and a subscriber to our channel, thank you very much. So basically what's going on here at Haunting Live is we have changed the format of the show. We are no longer going to be doing weekly shows as we have been in the past. We're going to sort of spread them out a bit more, do some changes, do some more edited type shows. So different content for you guys. So when we have shows and content and a guest available, what we're going to do is just post up random shows when they are ready to be posted. So be sure to have your subscribe button hit, as well as your notifications turned on, because that's the way you're going to be able to find out when we have a new show ready for you. That's the way we're going to do things from now on, and hopefully you guys will still tune into our shows. If you like our content, please do hit that like button and the subscribe button, and we will be bringing you brand new shows. We are continuing here at Haunting Live Podcast. This week we do have a brand new guest joining us, and he is a very interesting person, and we're really looking forward to having him on here this week. He is Brett. He is a registered medium at Lilydale, New York. So if you're a follower of mediumship, I'm sure you've heard of Lilydale before. And we're really looking forward to having this guest on. And before we do bring him on, though, we are going to play a quick sponsor from our ad, since we are sponsored now here at Haunting Live. So we'll get right to our special guest after this. Before we bring on our special guest this week on Haunting Live Podcast, we recommend you visit our official sponsors for Haunting Live, The Most Gifted Psychic. Visit our sponsor, The Most Gifted Psychics, by calling 866-228-2883 and mentioning code word Haunting Live, and receive their promo of 10 minutes for just $10. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Even if you don't like the reading, they'll refund your purchase. Again, visit our official sponsor, The Most Gifted Psychics, by calling 866-228-2883 and mentioning code word Haunting Live.
Hi, my name is Brecht Seilens. It's really a pleasure to be on your show today. I'm a registered medium in Lilydale. And Lilydale is one of the oldest spiritualist communities in the country. Definitely the oldest surviving. And We have a testing procedure to go through to in order to be registered. And it was not easy to go through that, just because it's a small community, but it's legit. And people often ask what makes Lildale so special. And I believe what it is that legend, and I believe it actually, has it that Lilydale was a sacred ground for the Native Americans, because it's actually surrounded by water. If you drive to Lilydale, there's a part around the swamp that is filled in, and on the other side, it's a bridge. So, you know, as you know, water is like an energetic barrier, and it makes that Lilydale stands away from the world, you know, the physical world a little bit. And it's been used for well over 100 years now with the intent of spiritual growth, which makes that when you walk on the grounds, you really notice a difference. And, you know, a little inside joke we have with people moving to Lilydale. Sometimes there's some people who stir a lot of waters and have, you know, make a lot of noise. And then we as people who I lived there for 8 years, and my mother-in-law lived there for well over 30 years. It's a long story. Her great-grandmother was actually a registered medium there too. And so an inside joke we make is, let's see how long this frog stays in the pond, because the energy is actually higher there. And, you know, people who don't come with pure intent or like move into this higher vibration tend to, you know, have too much things go out of whack, because you live in a place that has a higher frequency. It helps you to grow spiritually, but it also brings your challenges on faster. And for some people, that can be a little bit too challenging.
Well, let's start there then. How was it for you when you moved into Lilydale community? How did you find the energy there? Was it hard for you to adjust to, or was it easy for you to adjust to?
Oh, there's a really fun story about that. The first time I went to Lilydale, my wife, her mother lives there. And we arrived in a cold winter night. And her mother was visiting friends in New York, so there was nobody in the house. And, you know, the house was heated, but, you know, there's like a coldness because, you know, nobody's in it. And that night my wife and I went to the bedroom, and we both were laying in bed, and like the whole room was filling with spirits. We really could feel a lot of spirits like coming in and check, because I was new to the place, checking me out. And it's like, wow, what is this? And she's like, wow, I noticed it too. We really noticed the temperature drop in the room. And I was like, all right, guys, yeah, okay. And then already, that was the first time I was in Lilydale, and I didn't own a house back then. I knew that I was going to, like, you know, have a significant part of my life take place there. And then both my wife and I were like, all right, guys, check it out. And then now we can leave, because we want to sleep.
Yeah, sometimes that's what you have to do, is to lay down the rules and say, okay, you came and saw us, now it's our time for a bit.
I fully agree. You know, that's indeed how I work too. That, you know, the way I work and what I'm convinced about so far, knock on wood, I haven't been proven wrong. This physical dimension is our dimension, meaning that the spirit people have their frequency and their dimension. They can come in here, but we are in control. So the only way they can get to us is if we're afraid, and or if you like really purposefully ask them to step forward. And I've had it, you know, being psychically very aware. I have it not all the time, but regularly, that I walk into like old buildings or places that I feel a lot of presence. And then I tell them, like, I'm not here to be entertained. You know, I'm just here to do this or that. And, you know, don't bother me. The worst time I had that was in a mining village in Africa. I was in a mining village in Ethiopia, and it was known there that a lot of people died in horrible circumstances. But there was no IC in the room in Africa in the summer, and I was freezing. I'm not kidding. and there, that was one of the few times that I actually like visualized like an egg around me of protective light to sleep. Yeah, I don't need it often, and I can count it on one hand. But, you know, that's the thing, though, that you learn. And I think it's important to learn the tools, not so much to use them all the time, but just gives confidence. Because in the event something happens, you know, you have things to fall back on, and that just gives confidence where, you know, if you're afraid, you're insecure, then the spirit will see that. You know, it's like a dog. A dog notices your fear, and then you know, you get into trouble from there.
So let's continue with Lilydale for a bit while we're still on that topic. Do you know much about the history and the background of Lilydale, like how it began? And
I'll talk
about a little bit about the background and history of the land there.
All right, cool. One second. Look, I even have him here in Belgium. I brought this guy with me. He's so cool. This is this guy is our JC of Lilydale. We have our own JC. So the story about him is that his name is Jeremiah Carter, and he lived in Leona, which is a small little hamlet on the way to Lilydale. If you drive to Lilydale from the highway, there's like this little dip where it goes down, and then you go up the hill. Just before that dip is a little hamlet. It's like 15 houses or something. And he lived there. And he was a painter. And when at some point he fell off a ladder and had problems with his back and couldn't really deal with it. And he heard about mesmerism was very popular back in the mid 1800s. And so he learned about people traveling and going into a trance state and you know, healing, providing healing through that. And he read up on that, and he turned out to be very talented in going into a trance state. And in a trance state, he would channel this Dr. Giddes. Dr. Giddes. And I might be wrong on the name, might be Medis or something, but it's with E-S and D. And but this is such a cool story. So the free thinkers of Cassadaga Lake created a camp every summer, and it was the old farmer. Lilydale was farm ground. And the hotel, when you drive in, before the gate on the left, actually was the old building from the farm. That's where the farmhouse was. And they said they would rent it every year. And Alden was a father with two sons. And Jeremiah Carter, in trance, heard, like, you should make arrangements to purchase the land. And they said, no, we're renting it, and this is a good relationship. There's no need to purchase it. And Spirit told them, no, make arrangements. Do you know the story? So he said you should make arrangements to purchase the land, and he made a contract with the old guy, but then the old man died, and the young people, his sons, didn't want to continue the camp. They said, we want to stop. So luckily he came forward and said, no, I have an agreement. This is already a done deal. And that's how he really is kind of like the grandfather of Lilydale, because Lilydale was actually active before the Fox sisters. Lilydale was a free thinkers camp before the NSAC was in existence. And, you know, there's lots of different ways to look at it. I tend to lean to the way that Lilydale was signed over to the NSAC in a questionable way. It's history, and you know, his story, everybody has their story. But now we are in an NSAC camp, which, you know, has also benefits. And The amazing thing about Lilydale, of course, is that in the first place, we were free thinkers, and we provided a platform to the suffragettes, and we had big names like, what's her name again? Oh, I couldn't think of it. But, you know, we had the big, oh, come on, one of the big American ladies who, you know, we're going to be at the end of the interview, and I'm going to be like, maybe it's going to come back later. So that's Lilydale, and it's been used for this intent so long. And I also helped in the library organizing some of the old books. There's actually writings there that you cannot find online, that there's very rare copies of. And, you know, some of them you can find in National Library in DC, but even some of them, they don't have them there. They're hard to find. And so I was leafing through those. And in Lilydale back in the days, it was very common to have concerts where they would sit in circle and put instruments in the middle, the music would play, slates, trumpets, spirit paintings. I envy those old days a little bit, because it's like, come on. I mean, the real power is there with us, but I believe it was just a different time. And now we've moved on more to spiritual growth, because the thing with those old things is that it's amazing. It really enlightens people to what spirit can do. But it's also a little bit circus. You know, it really does not bring you to sitting in the power, the way they would say it in England, to go into meditative space and you know, take personal responsibility. It's more of a gimmicky thing. And for that reason, I understand why it's not so much a part of the scene so much anymore today.
Right. I think a lot of people know these days how paranormal works, how spiritualism works in their own way, right? So I think what people are looking for a lot these days is more of that spiritual growth, especially in their own areas. So do you find that is what people are coming there for more nowadays, is the growth of their own spirituality? Or
yeah, in general, I would definitely agree that well, I mean, in the beginning of my career in Lilydale, you know, certain readings just stay with you. And I had this guy is like, yeah, I don't care about the nuts and bolts. You know, the nuts and bolts being there's always the usuals coming back, which is health, finances, relationship, job situation, then children. But, you know, we want that too. But what I usually do is like, first I bring in spirit. I always start with communicating spirit because it's just builds the bridge for me. And it gives me confidence that the connection is there. It's my experience that if I don't connect with spirit first. I mean, I do sometimes, but rare. If I don't connect, then you know, the reading is not a connection. And up until a year ago, it was pretty consistent. It was about 3 in 100 because I record always. I know how much I don't connect. It was about 3 in 100, so 1 in 30. And now I'm kind of starting to get better. I'm like going to 2, 2.5 in 100. But if people call. This summer, I only had one, actually. It was, I mean, it was kind of sad because the lady drove with friends all the way from Rochester. And with her friends, I had a good connection. But with her, it's just, you know, yes, maybe. And I always ask people, like, give me honest feedback if something's off. Just say no, no, it's good feedback. And I believe that it's very important as a medium to value, to honor the work, because people will think about what we say. You know, especially when you make that connection with grandmothers here and your mothers here, the emotional barriers go down. So they tend to like give more importance to what you say as a medium. And if I say things like, oh, I don't care, you know, just, yeah, it's going to be all right. Go ahead and marry the guy. And then, or like, no, it's gone. Especially if I say things, it's not going to work out. I plant seeds. I'm very aware of the fact that as a medium, when you say things, even if it's not so or not so, there will always be like a tape playing in their head. And I take a lot of responsibility. And when I say things that I would word as like if I see a relationship not working out, I would say like, I'm not sure. I mean, I see things getting a little bit to a tense point. I'm not sure if you guys are going to be able to work it out.
That's the best way to be, is completely honest, even if you're on the medium side or you're on the sitter side, right? Like either way, you have to both be honest with each other to have the proper reading, I think. So, or else that energy connection is not going to be there. So,
yeah, and there's the thing too that I always reason if it's really being shown to me, like I see the situation evolving this or that way, I share it too. You know, I just reason if it's being shown to me, then it's okay to share. Of course, I want to be sensitive. And yeah, things like death, luckily the rare times people actually ask, I would just tell them, I believe your intuition is quite right. You know, meaning that, you know, it's not going to be 3 more years, something like that, I would say. And just, you know, because I believe that a really good reading oftentimes does not bring much new information. It just confirms what you already done. You know, that but it gives you that certainty because, you know, I don't know anything about people calling to me. And especially, I mean, for me, it's the same if I see people or not, but I actually prefer not seeing them. Often in a reading, I look away from the person because when I look at them, they're like, okay. You know, and I get thrown off because it's like, they understand, they don't understand it. And I try to match to what they, how they react. So I just actually purposefully look away from them, share as much as being shown. And then I look at them and I say like, okay, can you relate to that?
Yeah. Sometimes if you're looking at each other, it kind of throws your connection off, right? You don't get that. Yes. proper information that you want to. So I can see that, yeah. So when you are working at Lilydale, do you continue your studies? Like, how did you get into, I guess, your development at Lilydale? How did you grow into it?
Ooh, it's a long story.
That's okay.
It's a story where first I forgot about it. I wasn't really active in it in college and in high school. In middle school, I read the book The Celestine Prophecy from James Redfield when I was 16, which is 26 years ago now, I think. And I know I'm getting old. Older. And that really talked to me, because that's the way I think too. You know, I just always believe in karma, and I could do good to somebody. It might not come back from that person, but will come back in another way. When you meet somebody, there's like, you know, always a higher purpose and things. And I really talked to me. Then I got into books like Blavatsky and Leadbeater and all these things. I found that very relaxing literature. I did. It was fun for me. And I liked it. And then my brother-in-law at some point was like, hey, you should learn tarot, because he knows I was into those things. And I'm like, tarot, it's just a gimmick. It's not really my thing. He's like, no, take a card. So I'm like, it's a joke. So I take a card and I took out the fool. And he's like, all right, that's cool. You took the fool. Now be serious. I'm like, oh, right, fine, I'll be serious. So then I took the world. And as you know, the world is like the completion and the full circle of the big arcana. I was like, all right, maybe there's something to it. And I started reading the cards, and I noticed that very fast, intuitively, I would get more than what the cards say. That, like, that's what I always advise people too. When you learn to read tarot, have a book with it to see what it means. But most of all, learn what the symbols mean. Because, you know, there's a dove in there. What does a dove mean? There's the cup is upside down, or the hand comes from the right or comes from the left, or there's mountain. Mountain stand always for safety. There's water. Water stands for uncertainty. There's all these symbols. And then the cards, when you read the cards, especially in combination and settings, you'll see things coming back, like, oh, that bird is here three times, or like, oh, there's the wands three times on his left side. And you start noticing, like, on the left side, it means that something from the past, you've had good results in the past. And, you know, you can get so much more, because if you just learn the cards by heart, computer might as well do it. There's this pointless to go to. It's like, so then from there, my brother-in-law, he told me about this guy in France, Patrick Drouot. He's a French guy, and it's quite a story behind him too. He went to the States. He was a physicist, and he went to the States to work on I don't even know what projects with IBM, like a big company. And in the meanwhile, he learned about shamanism, got really intuitive, and was part of the first development of the Stargate program of what's it called, the Robert Monroe. And then Robert Monroe, he was part, like, he worked together with Ingo Swann and Joseph Monigal and all those people. But they did experience. He doesn't want to talk about it. I poked multiple times at him already, like, come on. Patrick, dis-moi, I'm fluent in French. So I told him, like, what's the story? He's like, it's just not right what they did. And, you know, intuitively afterwards, I kind of, like, tuned in to see what actually happened. And so they, I mean, from what I know, this is not from writing, this is not scientific, but from what I derive from the situation, they actually took him out of body and guided him to some of the really lower places of conscious, and to explore those places. And it was not with his consent. So he really kind of, like, turned the door on that. But then he really developed regression therapy in France. He was like the big guy in France to do regression therapy. And the first weekend, my brother and I went for that class. You had to, like, enroll, and then you had to be accepted. And it was a 2-year program where the first year was 2 times a week, and then 2 weekends, and the second year is 1 weekend, 5 weekends. So it's pretty thorough. And the first night we arrive, and he's like, you guys are going to be the therapists of the future. And we're like, all right, yeah, we're going to learn this and you're going to learn how to do this. And you're going to be the ones bringing this to the people. And my brother-in-law was like, oh, pinch me. This is so cool. We're going to learn how to do regression therapy. That was back in 2000. And so we had a lot of fun together with my brother-in-law. We had to practice on each other. And, you know, just silly. I mean, he's 3 years older than me. So he at some point was like conquering course, you know, the island of between France and Italy. And I said, all right, so you guys won. Now tell me what happens after the battle. He's like, oh, it's not nice. I'm like, well, tell me. You know, it's like I'm not telling you. Then right after he did a regression with me, it's like, oh, I'm getting back from the war, I'm getting married. So he's like, well, tell me in detail what's happening. I'm like, I'm not telling you.
But, didn't want to share all the information with you that he's picking up.
yes, exactly. But the nice thing about regression therapy is that there's so much more than past. Well, first of all, I mean, we call it past lifetimes, but when you get a deeper understanding of things, time is something part of our dimension. So technically, you could call it other lifetimes instead of past lifetimes. But the way your brain makes sense, we call it past lifetimes. And as such, you can also go forward. And I met my wife before meeting her in person. Yeah.
So I have heard of that. People discuss that quite often, if it's possible to past life regression, but also go forward. So have you had a lot of experience with going forward with it?
No, I didn't do it much, because the reason why I think it's hard to do is that there's you know, this is not what I know to be like. It's what I believe. I don't want to like pretend that this is how it is, but the way I make sense of it, there's pathways, you know, always little pathways. And as such, when you go into the future, it can throw you off. You know, I think there's a reason why I don't really know. And through mediumship, you can see like, you know, pretty far ahead, actually. Sometimes with mediumship, I really see like 5-7 years or like 10 years from now, you are going to move back to that area. So those are little things that, you know, are being shown to me. But in general, as to like where society goes, I haven't really delved into it. I know it's possible, but it hasn't really. I think there's like a fun too, to like exploring and trusting. And because oftentimes when by not knowing what comes, it's even more fun. Like one night we were doing an experiment for orbs, and you had to bring a camera and this and that, and you know, I totally forgot about it because I tend to live a little organic, and then I looked in my car. Oh, I have a video camera here, and it was actually also a video camera that took pictures, and it worked better than a regular camera. So oftentimes I have things that I forget, and then it turns out better. And if you're interested, I have pictures with like 100 orbs in it, and big, like this big, and they're like crop circles on the inside. Yeah, we did the experiment with that group in France. We were 100 people, and we did experiment first with sitting in meditation, then going into lifting our energy to a higher frequency, then walking in nature. And then eventually we played loud music and had like a dance party. And that's when it just lit. It just lit. So it's my experience that orbs are nature elementals. You know, they're little nature spirits. We can just capture their aura. And they're just curious little beings. So if the more fun you're having, the more excitement, the more they're going to be like, hey, what's going on there? You know, people often think, I'll meditate and then there's one orb. But I'll start singing and dancing. You'll have 10 of them at least.
Yeah,
it's interesting because it really shows that, you know, our eyes have a very small spectrum, but these cameras, apparently it's a flaw that they tried to get out of it, but it's kind of cool that they haven't succeeded yet.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So then in France, I learned the regression therapy. And there I worked together too with a lady who did other classes where she regressed me to like every age that was things that were significant. And I remembered that when I was 5, I would actually regularly talk to spirit. And I forgot about that growing up. I mean, now, of course, the memory is back alive. But one thing specifically that I remember was that we had a cleaning lady and her father died. And that night, he stood next to my bed. I never met the person, but I described him to my mother. And she said, "He's not a nice guy. Tell him to go away." I'm like, "All right." So I told him to go away. And but there were others that were visiting too. And I never felt threatened or scared. It was always like, "Oh, hi, who are you? Have fun. And what's going on?" And then I didn't do anything really with this, just remembering that. But in France, I learned how to work on the etheric body. You know, there's different layers of the physical body. And you can reprogram the physical body through, you know, conscious when working with energy. And it's really cool when you communicate with the etheric body. Almost always the etheric body goes like, "Oh my God, you can communicate with me." It's like, "Yeah, of course." "Whoa." It's like a little kid that is waking up like, "Hey." And it will really work with you. And it's smart too. If you're like, "Aha, I got you." And then it's going to move around and do silly things. So I learned that in France. I wanted to learn more to work with crystals. And that's where I found about Delphi University in Georgia. All right. So Georgia University, I went to learn a class with crystals. That was actually spirit release. So it was removing spirits from the body with the crystals. And that's for the first time there I saw really like the spirit communicating through a person. You know, voice. I mean, you, the exorcist, that the whole, I mean, the body didn't come up by itself, but for the rest, "You are nothing." And like the whole thing, like an old lady who's gracious and beautiful. And there was like spit coming out of her face. And me and the other person in the room were like, "Holy cow." Yeah, we were really like, "Whoa." So that was actually the scariest one I saw, was the first one I saw. And ever since, if I have something happen, it's like, "Oh, well, we'll be fine." It's scary. I'm like, they'll threaten you a little bit. They'll say some scary stuff. And you know, you learn sacred prayers. You learn sacred symbols that you can use. To be honest, I've never needed them, actually, because, you know, that one time, the first time was so intense that, you know, they don't really scare me nowadays if I come in touch with spirits. I have the tools, but I mean, knock on wood, I don't want to get overly confident, you know, that it's cool. I'm confident. I mean, bring it on. But so far, because I have those tools, which I think is good to have, but not to get lost into. Anyhow, so at Delphi University before, it's an amazing, amazing place. It's on a peninsula in the Georgia mountains. And it's like when you go there, you're really walking into a portal. They have like, I think, 6 buildings, and they have this church with crystals, all of them like this big, like crystal, rose crystal, you name it, all of them huge. That part of the organization, I can tell so much, part of the organization, the daughter of the organization married to the previous Tire King of Florida. Now, Tire Kingdom, Florida is like a huge tire company. And when he got divorced, he had Charles, Chucky, and great guy, still alive. And he had like a wake-up moment of like, "I want to do something valuable with my life." And then he went to Delphi University and, you know, just has been very generous in supporting the place. They also have like these meditation rooms and sacred geometry built out of copper. And you can go sit inside and really notice the difference in energy. But the most amazing thing about Delphi University is that it was founded by Patricia Hayes. And Patricia Hayes was the secretary of Arthur Ford. Arthur Ford is the medium who broke the Houdini Code. And he was close friends with Arthur Conan Doyle, you know, the guy who wrote Sherlock Holmes. He was friends with him. So he was a very renowned medium. And she worked for him and, you know, did all the paperwork and following up on setting up appointments. And when he died, he came ghosting her and he said, hey, you have to continue the work. And she's like, you're dead. Go rest. Go enjoy your resting day. He's like, no, there's so much work to do. You're still my secretary. You have to do this. And she's like, can I think about this and that? But then she really, you know, was exposed to that higher energy and just followed it. And then from there, she channeled also this healing technique called Rohan, which is a technique that was developed by Dr. Rohan in the spirit world for people to let go of convictions, of ways of thinking, because more and more, you know, people are catching up that everything that is in the ancient books is right, that, you know, in order to find God, go within, you know, that the kingdom of God is within ourselves. And it's by going within ourselves that we confront our own shadows. You know, we have to do the shadow work to make changes, real changes outside of ourselves require us confronting those insecurities and those convictions that we have on a deeper level. You know, being mad about to the world or to people around us is like looking at a movie screen and expecting because we say something to the screen that it's going to change. And that is one of those therapies that allows you to actually go within. And my mother-in-law did a tremendous amount of therapy. She my wife too, actually, together with them, they went to John of God. They went to the Maori healers in New Zealand. They went to Egypt. They've done a lot of work in that way. And my wife actually wrote a book about it. It's called The Healing Curve. And like one chapter, she writes about how with the Maori healers, she was the only not native person. They would do a ceremony on top of a hill. The women were on the inside, the men on the outside. They were doing like some deep chanting. And she said from a clear sky, he made it a rainstorm, like thunder with lightning. And then at the end of the ceremony, it was gone. And she was like, yeah. So anyhow, that's my wife. And in Georgia, then in order to do the spirit release work with crystals, you had to do advanced channeling first. And I had no experience with that, but it's a week long, the first program, the advanced mediumship class, it's called, or channeling. And it starts with very simple exercises where you connect to the other person. You have to like say whatever comes to your mind, and then you have to say why you see that and what it means. But they have all these little fun exercises that build up your confidence and in your intuition. And at the end of that week, I noticed that it was relatively easy for me to connect with spirit. I could really feel the people standing with me and yeah, telling what they said and what they shared. And so that was really fun. I loved doing it. And I was already like doing tarot for friends, but not professionally. And when I met the first night I was there, I was laying in bed. There was somebody standing next to him, but not in the physical. And he said, do you like it here? I'm like, I don't know. I just got here. And the person's spirit was like, well, if you like it, you'll live here one day. I'm like, all right. And then I went a lot. The first year I went like 6 times up and down. And through meditation, I knew I was going to meet my wife there too. And I met my wife by going forward in regression work. I couldn't see her face, but I know her name was Sarah. So at some point, I was sitting in their eating dining hall, and there was somebody walking in. She said, hi, I'm Sarah. I'm supposed to introduce myself. And I just right away said, oh, you're Sarah. You might be the one I'm going to get married to. And she was like, I don't know if you do that with other people, but it's not working. But it did. And so it's a magical place. I met my wife. Then we lived in Belgium for 3 months. And after that, we lived there for 2 years. But in the meanwhile, I was going up and down to Lilydale. We would go like almost once a month, drive up and down. And that's when we decided like, hey, you know what? We should just live in Lilydale. And when I moved to Lilydale, I wanted to become a registered medium there too. But of course, the first time I tested, I came in a little too strong and confident. And, you know, it's like a good old, what a gal. Same Budo Kyle, which is mainly ladies network, and you know, had to learn the ropes and everything. But
So what are some of the qualifications then when you become registered there? What did you have to actually go through?
The testing procedure is you have to do three readings, one for a registered medium and two for sitters. They grade you. And of course, in the reading itself, you need to bring at least two spirit people with four identifiers. Identifiers are things as physical traits, relationship, how they died, specific memories. And those are the main components that you have to do, like really provide proof of continuity of life. And then, then afterwards the psychic work. But, you know, all mediums will tell, I mean, you probably experience it too. Mediumship is like the cherry, and the psychic work is not so hard, you know, that's like the easy part of the reading. So, you know, when you do the clear evidential work, the other stuff is relatively easy. And also, yeah, now really evidential, because, you know, you can tell somebody like, hey, I see you getting a brand new job in 3 months. And it's like, all right, no, I mean, let's talk in 3 months. We don't know. You know, I mean, people might walk out all motivated, but you cannot grade on that. So there's that part. And then there's also the part where you have to do platform work, and you have to go to that's a hard one. They changed it now, which I think is a little too bad. But that was one of the last ones that had to do three people in 5 minutes. And every person had to bring two people with four identifiers. So that was really like boom, 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 boom.
Really testing hard then.
Yeah. But I'm happy that I did, because it's one of those things. It's like once you hit that bar, you can always go back there, because you know how to do it. And it really helped me to really trust, because you cannot develop, like, do that whole, like, would you understand? And, you know, I'm getting an S name or an F name. And personally, if you get a name, then you should say, like, look, Chuck is here. He was your uncle. He missed a leg and he died from a car crash. Not just who's Chuck to you. Well, I mean, everybody knows a Chuck. Everybody knows a John. Everybody knows a Mary. You know, let's be honest.
So, let's move on then. What do you do sort of day to day when somebody comes to you, whether it's online if you're in Europe or you're there physically at Lilydale to ask for a reading? What's the most common types of readings and stuff that you do day to day?
It's always the same. I mean, I'm lucky in Lilydale that I don't use a sign up sheet. I have people email me beforehand to set a scheduled appointment. So day to day in Lilydale, I hang out on the porch, and then I walk up and I'm like, oh, you must be Megan. And then it's like, yes, all right, let's go up. And then so the session, I always do my introduction, explain how I work. Are you interested in my introduction to hear that? I mean, maybe for other mediums it could be helpful, or?
Yeah, for sure. If you feel like explaining how that works, go ahead. Sure.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's always the same, but I've developed that through years. My introduction is, so first I do an internal prayer. I shift my energy. So I know that at that point, I go more in detail with you than I would go with the person, but I know at that point that anything I get is from spirit, and my own personality, I mean, still present, but my own personal life doesn't matter anymore. And so I shift my energy, set my intention with an internal prayer. I don't do it loud. And then I ask people their full name. It helps to connect with their frequency. And then I start identifying people in spirit. Identifiers are things like physical traits, how they transitioned, characteristics, just anything that makes you understand who's here. And if something's off, I always tell people, say no. No is really good feedback. And then I roll into the messages. With the messages, future events, don't think of it as it's bound to happen. Think of it as like, I see you on a highway heading for New York. Very likely you'll make it to New York, but, you know, you still have to put gas in your car and keep going. You cannot just sit back and, you know, start scraping the railings. And then I always tell people to, like, ask for clarity. If I'm talking about a subject that is not clear, just jump in there. Don't mind being interrupted. And also redirect me if I'm on a subject too long, you know, because, you know, a half hour goes pretty fast. So I tell them, like, hey, move on. And then the last thing I tell them too, what is the other one? Ask question, ask for clarity. Yeah, that's the ones. Those are the ones. And then we start, we get rolling. And so I start always with identify people in spirit. And I kind of line them up, you know, because usually the dream team is like 2-3 people. And occasionally it's a couple more. And then I tell them like, okay, is there anybody else you really wanted to hear from? But otherwise we start with the messages. Because the way the messages come, it's just, I get visuals. I get very strong visuals of like what's going on in their life situation. So I would tell them like, oh, the most prominent thing right now is going on. I see a job situation where you're really unhappy and you've applied for jobs, but nothing's coming to you. And I see that there's like a desire to go elsewhere, but you're waiting for somebody to give you that punch, to that push. And then it's like, you've got it all figured out, but you don't know how to get, like you're just waiting for that push moment. And you know, more often than not, almost always, people are like, wow, that's exactly what's going on. And then I'm like, in this case, I'd be like, well, here it is. Here's your push. Because what are the odds that I would describe a situation so specific where they need that push? I mean, this is now specific a situation that I'm thinking of. So then we make sense of things. And then with that, I oftentimes get like, yeah, I mean, you want to move. And your grandfather, he doesn't like it. I mean, he's the one who's like, no, you shouldn't move. You should stick to your close to your family. But your grandmother's like, oh, come on, dear. Go, go, go. And then people tell me like, you're right. My grandmother was like that. And it's fun. I mean, for me, I sometimes have to like restrain myself to like not get too enthusiastic, because I tell people like, come on, let's start having fun. And there's moments that there's a tear too. But the way I see it, it's kind of like when you go to a funeral. You know, when you go to a funeral, there's moments that intense grief and sadness, but then there's also moments that we're just really laughing hard with tears in our eyes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so true. It's hard to say what will happen during a session, right? Like you'll get those positive and negative moments both. So
yeah, it really is a moment of healing. So first I go through like the prominent things, because in general people call because they have questions. I mean, unless it's intense grief, you know, somebody who lost a partner, then the whole session would just be about that partner. And I would just stay the whole session with a partner. I wouldn't even do any psychic work, because what's the point? They call to hear from their partner. And there's times where I just, you know, keep giving evidence the whole session that I'm just, oh, and he's showing me, like, for instance, what was it? Just earlier this week. There were two fun ones. One was said he's showing me cheese platter, and there's something funny about it. I don't know what it is. Like you guys, like it was meticulously done, or at the end of the day, you had cheese platter, this or that. And then she told me, "Oh my god!" And she was crying and laughing. She's like, "My when he goes to my parents, my dad always has his cheese platter, and he always makes fun of that. Like, tonight, let's have a cheese platter and make it really nice." So that was like the ongoing joke they had. And I think it's really fun to like bring those fun memories back. But it's hard to. It's hard too, because it also makes people miss them a lot. And, you know, so it's a double-edged sword, because it brings the memories back, but it also helps them. And it's my experience that people in spirit, they don't have time like we do. So where we are just aware of like, I miss you so much and, you know, I'm just alone. For them, it's like, hey, I'll see you in a minute. Have some fun. Go out there.
So true. So thank you for being here today. I really appreciate you coming on to Haunting Live and talking with us a little bit about Lilydale and what it means to be there and how you do your work day to day there and how you help people. So it's been really insightful learning your ways of doing things. So, and too, I wanted to ask you, in Lilydale, I know there's this tree stump that is sacred. Do you want to talk about that for a bit?
Sure. So the stump is, it was actually children who had fun there. It used to be a tree there that they cut down, and it was a stump. And the children would go there and copy what they saw the mediums do, like, hey, you there with the blah, blah, but the black hat, there's his grandmother here. And they would really have fun and do the little things. And then they noticed that there's, you know, there's actually an energy there, a presence. And it's the way the benches are set, for me, it always looks like a cathedral. And, just sitting in that place, there's a higher frequency as a medium, it really makes a huge, well, yeah, it does. It really does. It's a lot easier to connect to spirit there. The first time I did platform work was there, and I just said, I got off stage. Because it's really scary to stand in front of people the first time. And, you know, everybody looks at you and like, and, you know, there's so many things going on through your head that it's quite nerve-wracking. And then from there, you know, it really is a skill. But the stump is an amazing place for people, especially people who are in grief who want to develop. I would really recommend to go sit there and find that stillness, because through stillness, we can make a connection ourselves with spirit.
Yeah, that's cool. If I ever get there, which it's not too far from where we live, so hopefully someday we can go down and check it out and check out the energies there, and especially the stump.
Yeah, you really should. Yeah, you really should. And the lake too is, you know, Casadega's Native American language, Lakota, for a lake under the rocks, and it's actually spring fed. And I think there's just in the upper lake like 9, and then in the bottom lake there's also 6 springs, and you can feel it when you swim. There's certain areas where there's like really cold water coming out, so apparently there's caverns below the lake. And I'm not so home into it, but actually I'm a little bit there's alien activity there too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have there been any experiences with that there?
I didn't have any direct experiences, but my wife saw like a light triangle move behind her in the woods one time. My mother-in-law, who lives on the side of the woods, see multiple times flashes of light moving through the woods. And there's some people in Lilydale who are specialized in communicating, and they say that they've seen ships come out of the lake.
Yeah, I know, because a lot of people are into that, like especially spiritual people, they're into communicating with ETs and stuff like that, trying to reach them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's possible. I think you can actually connect and communicate with them that way spiritually. So I would assume that would be a great place to do that too. So
yeah, there's a great app for it too. I think it's CE3 or might be CE5. Do you know about it?
I have heard of that, yes.
Yeah, it's... It's cool, you know, all these little trippy sounds and everything. Good stuff.
Well, thank you very much. I won't keep you much longer. So is there anything else that you'd like to talk about? Anything that you're currently working on or stuff coming up that you want to promote a little bit? Or?
What I want to share with people that I find very interesting is earlier this year, I was on a trip with Nassim Haramein, and then there we had like an exclusive lecture with Greg Braden. And he was talking about how right now we're living in a time where there's a convergence of timelines. You know, a lot of people notice that time is speeding up, that where before we could do like, you know, 8, 9 things in a day. Now sometimes it's like you get 1 or 2 things done in a day. It's been a good day. Actually got something done, you know? Time just seems to be speeding up. And it makes also that the best and the worst of everything is coming to the surface. And it's a time where I really believe that too, where we're being tested to like see what path you're going to choose. And there's a lot of stuff going on like podcasts and alternative media to wake up people. And I think it's really good, because I personally dare to speak up that, you know, the majority of the mainstream media is like watching WWF, you know. In the beginning, people thought it was real. Then they admitted that it was fake. And everybody was like, well, we don't care. It's still a good show. And I think that the mainstream media is a bit like that too. More and more people are waking up to that. But I also believe that part of the waking up process is to start living with more awareness, more conscious. Like, you know, once you're awake, you drink a coffee, but you cannot keep drinking coffee all day long. You'll go nuts. And it's the same with that too, that, you know, it's like, there's horrible things going on, but focus on what's important to you, because as you know, with spiritual awareness, whatever you put your energy to, that is going to like grow and manifest more in your life. So I think that which is really hard in today's world, because there's so much distraction. There's you know, Instagram, Facebook. Netflix has amazingly good series. I mean, I've been free from watching series for 4 months now. But I think I might just start the new Game of Thrones because the other one was just, I really loved it. But it's hard to like not get sucked into all these things. And it distracts you. Like I said, for doing good mediumship, the goal is to really have a clear mind. Like for the longest time, I would meditate every day for at least an hour. And that really helped me tremendously with my mediumship. What helped me to meditate first was doing the Bandana Spandana. I think that's what it's called. Shambhavi, that's what it's called, from Sadhguru Jaggi Vasudev. He's the guru. He's a bit the new Osho of today, actually. He's still alive. I've met him. And he's a really cool guy. My wife introduced me to him. she got to know him because of her publisher and this and that. He's the guy that the lady of Elizabeth Gilbert Ross of Eat, Pray, Love went to. You know, in the movie, they made it something else because they didn't want to cooperate with the movie. But he's the guy she went to. And you can find YouTube videos of him online. You know, his followers are Indian and they're really good at putting all that stuff online. And whatever question you have, what does Sadhguru think? He's kind of like Alan Watts was back in the days, that he'll give you, like, he'll tell you why your question is very valid and you have every reason to be concerned about it. But then he'll turn it around to, in the end, it's like, yeah, and why do you make a fuss out of that? You know, like he'll give you, he'll like be this mind bender of like, dang, he's got a good point. And so I thought, like, you know what, that guy is interesting. So I learned his meditation, and it's I think like 9 classes of an hour online, and then you go to a place where you learn the actual meditation. And prior to that, I could not sit still more than 5 minutes. Prior to that, you know, I would sit still in meditation and be like, wow, that was long, 4 minutes. You know, this is pathetic. And then so with him, you learn these yoga exercises, and all together, I think it's a sequence of 4 poses and then 3 things of pranayama, you know, alternating breath and some other things. And after doing that, I noticed that I could sit still as long as I wanted. Before doing that, my energy was just all over. And that learned me to sit still. And then from that stillness, I noticed that I can focus my brain way better. Because communicating with spirit for me is kind of, the way it works for me, it's kind of like fine-tuning a radio. So when you ask me to communicate with your grandfather, you know, I'll ask him to step forward, and then I build that bridge. And building that bridge is like fine-tuning his frequency that he comes in with. And the more, the less I'm focused, the more I get static. And I like, ooh, I get this, I get this, I get this, I get this. Where, you know, there's that story of Arjun. It's a cool story. I have time. I scheduled enough time. I didn't have much time.
Yeah, sure. If you have something else to share about it, yeah, go ahead.
So Arjun, there's a cool story in the Bhagavad Gita where Drona was his teacher. And who was it? The other guy. Oh, I can't think of his name now. Said, Drona, you're in love with Arjun. He's the golden boy, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita. And he's like, you're in love with him, you're not seeing, he's not as good as you think he is. He's like, all right, I'll show you why he's so good. So he lines all his students up, and he puts this wooden bird on a tree across the river. And he tells the students, point your arrow at the bird, tell me what you see. And his first student goes like, oh, I see the tree, I see the bird, I see the wind coming from the right, so I have to take that into account. Okay, next, what do you see? Well, I see the birds, I see the feathers on his back, I see this tree. Okay, well, next, and he keeps going. And then he gets to Arjun and he asks, what do you see? And Arjun says, I only see the eye of the bird. And that's kind of like what we want to get to in mediumship too, that you have that laser focus where you really can communicate with one person in specific, because I feel like that's it's really helpful to have that. And it's the same with just day to day. Like I said, what I've begun with, like the convergence of time, that right now there's so much distraction going on. It's like hell. You know, if you don't have a spiritual practice, it's, you know, the moment you get in a thought in your head, there's 10 afterwards. And then the moment you have these 10, there's, you know, it's like chopping off heads of that dragon that keeps growing new heads with thoughts. And it drives a whole lot of people crazy. And the key is to kind of like find stillness, because there's a lot of psychic energy available right now. And if you learn to focus, you can spiritually progress now in a year time, but other times would take lifetimes. There's so much more spiritual energy in the air now, but you know how the planets are moving. And I think that now is more important than any time to have a spiritual practice.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So how can people get a hold of you if they'd like to contact you directly for a reading or get a hold of you some way?
My website is the easiest. So brechtsalens.com. I have the BE too, but .com. And my name is not so easy to spell. Through Lilydale website, they can find it too. Lilydaleassembly.org. And then I'm also in that list of mediums. Or they can go on Google Maps. I'm also listed in Lilydale on Google Maps. And that's where they can find me too.
Okay, well, it's been wonderful having you here today and learning about yourself and what you do. So thank you for being here.
Hey, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Do you deal with the paranormal? Are you looking for metaphysical supplies? Check out our Haunting Live Etsy shop, Live Now. We have supplies for protection, energy work, attraction, smudging, and more. Come check out our crystals and large selection of cleansing and protection products. Go check out Haunting Live on our Etsy shop today. Missed this week's episode? Watch it on RIB, Rhode Island Broadcasting, replaying our episodes every week on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Follow them on social media on Facebook or on YouTube.
Thanks again for listening to Scary Time by Indie Drop-In Network. If you would like to nominate a scary or paranormal podcast to be featured, just send me a tweet at Indie Drop-In. I'd also love to hear if one of our featured podcasts is now your favorite show. Indie Drop-In survives off ad revenue and listener donations. If you would like to contribute, please consider buying me a coffee. You can go to buymeacoffee.com/indiedropin. If you look at the very bottom of the episode description, you will see a link to make it easy. Indie Drop-In also has many other shows you might like. Just go to indiedropin.com. See you next week.